to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and then we'll turn to Deuteronomy 18. We'll hear the Word of God preached this morning. Hebrews 3, we have in the opening chapters of Hebrews this elevation of Jesus Christ. He's declared his exalted nature as the divine Son of God, as the great revealer of God, as greater than the angels, and in Hebrews 3, as greater than Moses. And we're going to come to that as we come into the preaching of the Word on Jesus Christ, our prophet. Read the whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 3. One other note, just as we read this, note the warning. It'll come out in the sermon a little bit near the end, but just for you, this warning is for an unbeliever, certainly, but it's for the believer especially. Do not reject, do not harden your hearts as the people of God did who left Egypt and died in the wilderness. Be right with God and submit to His every word. Hebrews 3, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses, indeed, was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken of afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not disobey. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to consider verses 15 to 22 this morning, but I'm going to read from verse 9 to set the context. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And I will take up your bulletin to the liturgy for this morning. And we're going to confess our faith together, considering Westminster Shorter Catechism 24. I'll ask the question, we'll respond together. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Amen. As we approach the preaching of God's word, let's seek his blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that through Jesus Christ you have given us this word that we're about to consider. We thank you for the whole of Scriptures, which are the breathed out word that you've given through Christ and by his Spirit. We thank you, Lord, then that this word is alive, is full of truth, is authoritative, that it's not made that way because of my preaching or because we have decided it, but because you have declared it. And so, Lord, may we this morning, under this word, submit ourselves wholly and completely to it. In so doing, submitting ourselves wholly and completely to you. Work, Holy Spirit of God, we pray, that these words would be accompanied by your power and applied into our lives and in our hearts. And that we, Lord, would all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would all rejoice in the true good news that you have given us in the Scriptures. Equip me to proclaim your word faithfully, but may Christ be the one we see and hear this morning. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we live in a world that has an information overload problem. There is more information coming at you every single day in this generation than in any generation previously. At your fingertips, I'm sure you've heard this before, at your fingertips, with your phone, or at a computer, you have more information that's coming at. There's more information of the past, never mind constant streams of new information that comes at you every single day than any previous generation. There's a daily question, no doubt, you ask yourself, or perhaps discuss with those around you. What do I think about this, or what do I think about that? How do I know what is true? What's a little bit true? What's a lot true? What's really wrong, or maybe just slightly wrong? How do I discern? You know, we have more information at our fingertips. It's certainly arguable whether we're any smarter for it in this generation. And certainly discernment becomes difficult and is very hard. How do I know what is true and who to believe when all these different authorities are vying for my attention? On the right or on the left or claiming to be in the center or wherever it might be, they're coming and they're saying, no, wait, listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. Who do you listen to? Well, this morning, I'm not going to answer that question completely in terms of everything that you deal with, but I'm going to give you the foundation of knowledge and truth and the ultimate authority by which everything else can be determined to be true or not. We're going to speak this morning, giving thanks to God this morning, for he gives us true knowledge through his own Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need the world's message of authority and hope. You need God's message that comes to us through his own authority, through the very prophet of prophets, through the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is always true. It's not a little bit. It's not mostly. It's completely 100% true. You can rely on it completely. It's the only word in this world that you can rely on it 100%. We're going to consider the great prophet, Jesus Christ. As we continue our consideration of Jesus Christ and his work and his offices as mediator, as that one that has been set by God to be the one between us and God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, God becoming that perfect mediator, being that perfect mediator for us. And last week we spent time considering the three offices of Jesus Christ. His office of prophet, priest, and king, and how those together, he is the complete Christ that we need. We can't just have him as our prophet and reject him as our king. We can't, or as the world tends to do, and many Christians tend to do, we'll have him as our Savior, but not as our Lord and King, whom we obey and submit to. We need the whole Christ. And so now, this morning and in the weeks to come, we're going to look at those offices individually. We've seen the whole and the complete, and in many ways you can't separate these offices. Christ is not just one moment a prophet, the next moment a priest, but he is all of those things at the same time. But it's good for us to consider what the Scriptures say as we focus in on his work this morning as the great prophet. A topic, admittedly, that is as vast as the very revelation of God itself. As I was listening to a conference talk recently, and someone said, today, for our text, we're going to have the Bible. I'm not going to do that to you. He didn't do that either. But it's the reality that this is the Word of Jesus Christ. This whole Scriptures comes to you through this prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to do this morning, though, is focus in on one great Old Testament prophecy and promise of God that leads us right to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've read in Deuteronomy 18. And we're going to consider verses 15 to 22. That Jesus Christ is the prophet through whom God always speaks and who God calls you to hear. Jesus Christ is the prophet through whom God always speaks and he calls you and who God calls you to hear. We're going to consider first Jesus, the long-promised prophet, in verses 15 and 16. Then Jesus, the one who speaks for God, in verses 17 and 18. And then Jesus, the one you must hear, in verses 19 to 22. Jesus, the long-promised prophet, in verses 15 to 16. Well, Deuteronomy is the message of God to his people Israel before they entered into the Promised Land. They're on the border of entering the Promised Land finally after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their stubbornness, their sin, the hardness of their heart that we read of in Hebrews 3. And God, Moses brings the message of God to these people. Moses as a prophet of God brings the message of God, reiterating to them the terms of the covenant relationship that God had established. There were terms to God's making Israel his beloved people. And the people were, as they knew Moses would not enter the Promised Land with them, they knew his time was coming for him to die, there seems to be, at least in this context, there seems to be a concern. Wait, if Moses is going, then who's going to represent God to us? Who's going to speak the word of God? The people, they were terrified of hearing from God directly when they were at Mount Sinai, and they asked, Moses, you speak on our behalf. You talk to God, you bring the message from God to us. Thus, Moses is a prophet. And God said that was good, but now Moses is about to die. And he's telling them, as you know, you're going to enter the land, you're not going to have me. He tells them, as we read in verses 9 to 14, don't start looking at the pagan ways of trying to discern the will of God and to hear from your God. God will provide a right and a good way for you. These nations, verse 14, which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Rather, God's given something much better. We know that because it's God's way. God always does what's best. We must always listen to his way. You're not going to find help for your future or your present by having your palms read or going and reading your horoscope in the morning and seeing what that might tell you. There is no hope in finding another way to discern the will of God other than the way that God has provided for you and me. And that is to listen to Him, as we're going to see this morning, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Moses was a faithful prophet. A prophet was one who represented God to the people, essentially, in terms of spiritual truth. I mean, there were false prophets who claimed to represent God to the people, but true prophets represented the true word of the living God to the people. They brought that word of God to others. Moses most definitely was faithful in doing that. He was not a man without sin. That's why he wasn't entering the promised land, but he was faithful before God. And the people were thankful for that. Again, they were terrified. They were terrified of God. They had a right fear of God, and they had asked Moses to represent God to them. Deuteronomy 5 expands a bit on what Moses talks about in verse 16. After the Ten Commandments were given, the terms of God's covenant relationship with His people, the people saw the lightning, the thundering, the smoke, the fire. Terrifying. Verse Deuteronomy 5, the people said to Moses, "Surely the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet He still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it." This was what Moses had then done for the people according to the will of God. And now God promises them, you're not going to go to other means. I'm going to provide another prophet for you. I'm going to provide a prophet for you like Moses. Verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. He will speak the word of God for you." Prophet like Moses. Various ways of being a prophet like Moses would it be a man, an Israelite, one from among the very people of Israel, but also one like Moses who heard the word of God, knew the word of God, and faithfully declared the word of God to the people, a true, faithful prophet, both in what he declared on behalf of God and how he cared for the people. But through the history of Israel after Moses, there were many prophets. Many who came, many names we know, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, many others who we don't know. We sometimes just are told about a prophet of Judah or from somewhere. But there were no other prophets that arose like Moses. In fact, the end of Deuteronomy, the conclusion to Deuteronomy, which was written well after Moses was dead, was declares there that there was no one else. It was his epilogue was that there was no other that no other prophet had risen like Moses, who spoke with God face to face. Deuteronomy 34:10. "Since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do." That fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy of a prophet that God would raise up for His people, ultimate fulfillment was yet to come. The people were waiting for it. They knew the promise. And even up into Jesus' day, there was this expectation. This has not yet been fulfilled. They were still looking for the prophet who would be like Moses, whom God would raise up. This was part of their messianic expectation. There is one God is going to raise up, our Messiah. When John the Baptizer was out doing his work and he was preaching and calling people to repentance, the first prophet the Jews had in 400 years, the Jews asked him, they asked him a bunch of questions. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." "Are you the prophet?" John 1:21. And he said, "No, the prophet." Not just a prophet, he certainly was a prophet, but he was not the prophet. And then Jesus and his ministry, the people also began to wonder about Jesus. Different places, like John 7, verse 40, they were hearing his preaching, his authoritative declaration of the word. And many from the crowd, when they heard, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." And in fact, they were finally right. Jesus was the prophet of God, whom God would send, the ultimate prophet of God. It was a claim he took to himself when in John 4, he was interacting with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he's declaring to her what would come, what worshipers God was looking for, and what the future would hold for worship of God, to worship in spirit and in truth, not in the temple, not on the mountain that the Samaritans held dear. The woman says to him, verse 25, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." In Luke 4, Jesus is preaching in the synagogue. He's reading the book of Isaiah in the synagogue in public worship. And he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and they all looked at him, and Jesus declared, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He is the one sent of God to proclaim, anointed of God to proclaim the good news of the gospel. But Jesus was not self-appointed. He did not appoint himself. He was appointed and given this work by the Father in the great plan of salvation. As the Father himself who declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." In fact, at the Transfiguration, where Jesus for a moment had his glory unveiled, and he was there before Peter, James, and John. And you know, Jesus is there and he's talking with Elijah and Moses, representing the law and the prophets, the two great revealers of God's truth. And what does the Father declare from heaven? About Jesus only. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Not, "Hey, this is, you know, three great prophets. Listen to what they all have to say." Saying, "No, listen to my Son. Listen to Jesus Christ. He is greater than Elijah. He's greater than Moses. He is the prophet." And thus, it's not surprising that the apostolic witness, the apostles' preaching, brought this out for the people, declaring to the people, "This great prophet whom you are expecting has in fact come. You've murdered him." Peter preaching in the temple in Acts 3, speaking of the Christ, then cites and quotes Deuteronomy 18, Acts 3, verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." So they were not fulfillments of that prophecy. In verse 26, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." And when Stephen was being martyred, just before he was martyred in Acts 7, he's preaching and he's declaring to the religious leaders how they are following the pattern of their fathers and rejecting the word of God, rejecting the ones whom God has sent. Now they've done the worst thing. They've rejected the ultimate one whom God has sent. And again, he cites Moses in Deuteronomy 18. "This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear.'" And Stephen's declaring, "This is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you have crucified on the cross." And finally, in Hebrews chapter 3, we read this morning, Moses was great, Jesus was greater. Moses was a servant in the house, but Jesus is the son over the house. Moses brought great revelation, and God used him in the kingdom, but Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and he's also the great messenger of God. He is the divine son of God. See, the testimony of Scripture is clear. Deuteronomy 18 is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the great prophet of God who perfectly speaks the message of God to you, for you to hear. Jesus Christ is the prophet through whom God always speaks and who God calls you to hear. We've considered Jesus as the long-promised prophet, but you might ask yourself, why does it matter that a 4,000-year-old prophecy was fulfilled 2,000 years ago in a place that's quite a ways away from here? Why does that matter to me? What does that mean? What difference does that make in my life? This is the difference it makes in your life. He is the only one who speaks on behalf of God to you. If you want to know God, if you want a right and good relationship with God, you need to listen to the message that Jesus Christ brings to you by His Word and Spirit, revealing to you the will of God for your salvation. That's why it matters, because He is the prophet, the one who speaks for God. Turn to verses 17 and 18 in our text in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord said to me, "What they have spoken is good," and asking for a mediator. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." God is declaring that the request of the people, when they asked for someone to represent God to them, was a good request. It was God's plan all along to provide for them a mediator, one who could represent God to them and them to God. God's plan all along was to send this mediator, to send Jesus Christ in the flesh to dwell among the people, to bring them the message of God. It's important for us as we think of Jesus Christ as the one who speaks for God to recognize that Jesus Christ's work as prophet did not just begin when he was born or when he began his public ministry at 30 years of age. Jesus Christ has always been the one who represents God to us. He's always spoken on behalf of God. He is, as John 1 declares him, the divine Word of God. He is the Logos. It is through him that creation was spoken into existence. It is through him that salvation is declared to you and me. It's interesting because John makes this comparison between Jesus and Moses, as in Christ bringing the fullness of the message of salvation. "For the law was given through Moses," John 1 verse 17, "for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Yeah, Moses saw God face to face, is the language of Scriptures. But none are like Jesus, who dwells in the very bosom of the Father. And Peter, who declared Christ as the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, also declares Christ to be the one who inspired all the Scriptures, including all the prophets of the Old Testament. Peter writes in his first epistle, and as he opens it up, First Peter 1, verse 10, speaking of the great salvation, the great inheritance that is laid up for believers in heaven, the great message of salvation, he says in verse 10, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully." That is, those prophets who have prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter's saying that these prophets of the Old Testament wanted to see the full fulfillment of what they were talking about. They wanted to understand fully what they were declaring. But it was actually the spirit of, but the point for this text this morning, for our consideration, is that it was the Spirit of Christ himself. It was Christ speaking through the prophets in his work as the great prophet. He was already, before he was born into this world, was representing God to us, which tells us and declares to us that there is not one bit of revelation from God that you have received that did not come through Jesus Christ. The Father speaks through the Son, always, from the beginning of time until this very moment. But God's plan included for Christ to be one like unto Moses, or one like us. He came into this world. He was born into this world. He was became a man like you and me. He was born to the Israelites. But like Moses, and better than Moses, he was a faithful one who came and preached the word of God. He declared, as he would say, he declared the word of God. God said, I will put my words in his mouth. Jesus says, I have God's words in my mouth to declare to you. Matthew 11, verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In John 8, 28, Jesus would declare that which he says actually in various places. John 8, 28, then Jesus said to them, he predicts his going away, his crucifixion. He said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, that is himself, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He would pray to the Father before his crucifixion saying, Father, I've told them everything that you've given me to tell them. John 17. Now you say, well, what about the equality of why, you know, Jesus will say at different parts, different places, say, you know, the Father is greater than I. Here now he's saying, I'm speaking what the Father has given me to speak. But isn't Jesus God? Yes, Jesus is God, and he is divine and equal with the Father. But we're speaking here of the plan of salvation. That is the Father who planned the salvation. It's the Son who brings it about. It is the Spirit who applies it. And so it is the Father who gives Christ the message to preach. It's Christ who preaches that message faithfully, and it's the Spirit who makes that message alive in your hearts. That's the Trinity at work for your salvation. Christ revealing to you the will of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your salvation. That's what Jesus perfectly did. He declared the way of restoration to God. That you are broken, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. There is no hope in your relationship with God outside of him. But he declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except to me, through me. And when he's the truth, he is the truth of God revealed to you. That you would go to come to the Father, come to know the Father. Jesus preached boldly the message of hope and salvation, accompanied with signs and wonders. But he declared, come to me, you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He had the message of hope. He had the message of warning against those who would reject what he had to say, saying that there is judgment to come if you are to reject this way of salvation, to ignore it, look for another way. He's the one who worked by his Spirit, again, to make that word effectual in your hearts, to change you, to bring that word not just to your ears, but to your heart, to say, yes, I believe. That was his work in this world, and it's his work that continues after he ascended back up into glory, after his glorious resurrection, where he continued his work. He sent forth his apostles to complete the writing of Scripture, to complete the whole revelation of God that we need. Sending forth his apostles, inspiring them by his Spirit. And he continues to send forth his servants, to send forth the ministers of the gospel, not to give a new revelation, but to preach the great revelation of salvation that you have in the Scriptures. To declare to you the will of God for your salvation. That's why under the preaching of the word, it's not a man himself who speaks. It is Christ speaking through the man, bringing the word of God to your hearts. And he continues his work of the Spirit, that my words, me, I'm not going to change a single heart this morning, but I pray to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that by his Spirit he would change your hearts, grow you in faith, or give you new life. Do you believe the prophet whom God has sent? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you believing every one of his words? Jesus Christ is the prophet through whom God always speaks and who God calls you to hear. Christ is the great prophet. He speaks the word and it demands a response. You must hear and respond to what he has to say. So we turn to Jesus, the final point, the one you must hear. In verse 15, God had said, or Moses was repeating what God had said, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. That means not only that you will have the word pass through your ears, but you'll actually do what he says. Boys and girls, when your parents call you to dinner and they say, you know, go to the bathroom, then go sit down for dinner, And then they find you still doing whatever you were doing when they gave you that command, and you're definitely not gone to the bathroom. You're not sitting down for dinner. They're not really going to hear it if you were to say, oh, I heard you, but I didn't know that meant I had to listen to what you said. I didn't know that meant I had to obey you. Don't think that excuse is going to really fly. When they say they want you to hear, they say, did you hear me? You know, you ever hear that question? Did you hear me? It doesn't mean did it pass through your ears. It means did it register that you actually have to do what I say? And that is true of the message that Jesus Christ brings. We are not just to hear it and say, oh, what a nice message. What a nice guy. Wow, he really has some really good things to say and some wisdom, which is so many in this world do. Oh, he's just, he's got some nice stuff to tell us. That's not our response to Jesus Christ. Our response is to say, yes, Lord, I will do what you say. Hearing means responding, believing the promises, trembling at the threatenings, obeying the commands, rejoicing at the message of hope. This is my beloved Son. Hear him every single time. Not when it's convenient, not just when it's convenient, not just when you think it's really good, not just when it matches up with your thinking, but every single thing he says. And God says in verse 19 of our text, it will be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. God will hold you personally responsible for every word of Christ that you have heard in your life, including the very word of Christ that you've heard this morning. There's no going back to God to saying, I heard it, but I didn't know you meant I had to actually do something with it. You must respond to the word of God that comes to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. God will hold you responsible. If you reject and say, I don't want to believe, if you ignore what he tells you to do, do you believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ without exception? Without exception. God warns of false prophets. Verse 20, the prophet who presumes to speak in my name or even represents another prophet, he shall die. It was a capital crime because they are not only destroying their own soul, but they're seeking to destroy others. They're drawing others and driving them away from the truth to falsehoods that will lead to their ultimate death. But Jesus Christ never has done that. Jesus Christ draws you to the Lord. He draws you to the Father. He preaches and proclaims a message of hope and salvation in the true God. You know, he was killed for blasphemy. The Jews said to Pilate that as they tried to find some sort of reason to crucify him, they ultimately settled on blasphemy. John 19, verse 7, the Jews answered Pilate, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. They hated that when he thought, how dare he speak on behalf of God? And they crucified him and he died, but he didn't die for his sin, he died for yours. And the Father vindicated him, publicly justifying him by raising him up on the third day, declaring his word is true. In fact, Jesus said, they're going to kill me and I'm going to be raised on the third day. And his word came true because he is the great prophet of God. You need to hear him. Verses 21 and 22 is an important question that's asked. If you say in your heart, how will we know? How will we know if someone's not telling us the truth? That's a good question. You need to be wary of who you listen to. You need to be wary of those who claim to have a prophetic word from God. You need to reject them. You need to be wary of these things, but you do not need to be wary of Christ. It says, God says here, if what they say doesn't come to pass, you'll know they're false prophets. This isn't just about general predictions. You know, it's going to be hot in August. This is talking about specific things. It's going, Isaiah prophesying of the name of a king of a foreign nation 150 years before that king was even born. Very specific. And if you examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to the Scriptures, examine it, you will find in him that his words, not one of them has ever fallen to the ground. He is the perfect fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. And his own prophecies in his life were fulfilled. That he would die, that he would be crucified, that he would be raised again, that he would send his Holy Spirit upon them, that the gospel would go forth to the nations. Every single one of them came true. There are some prophecies, like his second coming, that have not yet happened. But let me tell you, you look at who he is as God, you consider his track record, and you can be sure, without a doubt, that every word that has not yet been fulfilled will be fulfilled in its perfect time. Friend, if you're not trusting Jesus Christ this morning, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to hear Jesus Christ. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, you're yet a dead sinner who needs to hear the words of new life. You're a dead sinner under judgment who will face the wrath of God for rejecting the word of God. Today is the day. Jesus Christ came to preach a message of hope and to raise the dead, to declare forgiveness for all those who trust in him, so he will wash away their sins, and to give the Holy Spirit to all who believe on him, that you would grow in knowledge, truth, and serving him. Don't harden your heart against the message of Jesus Christ. To do so is to desire death and not life. He offers you life in himself. And brothers and sisters in Christ, should give you great encouragement, for Jesus Christ is the great revelation of God. The revelation of God has been shown again. You can be assured of the good and great revelation of God and rejoice in the prophet who has brought you the will of God for your salvation, that he continues to minister to you, by the word, giving thanks for his continued ministry to you, including sitting here this morning. He is the one to whom you must turn daily for instruction, turning to his scriptures and praying for his spirit to teach you, that you would believe all of what he says to you, all of it, that you would read all of it, that you would believe all of it, and that you would examine your life for any disobedience to the will of God revealed by Jesus Christ, and that being shown disobedience, you would repent of it immediately and receive wisdom and the will to obey. Paul writes to the Colossians, to the church as a whole, let the word of God dwell in you richly. That's a command for all of us. We need to exhort one another to be in the scriptures, to listen to the word of Christ, to be obedient to every single command. And it's a message to bring to those outside. Here is the words of God. Here is the message of God. Jesus Christ is the prophet whom you must believe. He is the one through whom God always speaks, and he is the one who God calls you to hear. So we focus this morning on the first mediatorial office of Christ, the long-promised prophet who teaches truth. Yes, there is truth, and it is God's truth, and it comes to you through Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit, he opens you up to receive and understand and believe it. We began this morning thinking about global flood of information. Jesus Christ has revealed to you the authoritative word of God. He's given you this word that you can believe from cover to cover, everything in it. He's given you the most important knowledge you will ever receive, the word of your salvation, from a perfectly trustworthy source. This is God's word given to you. May the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ accompany your reading of the Scriptures, your study of the Scriptures, and accompany the preaching of the word of Jesus Christ, that you may believe, and that in believing, you may live. Let's pray. Our Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for revealing to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, your will for our salvation. Thank you, Lord God, that this word, even this morning, that's been proclaimed is again a declaration of Christ and his message and the great hope that there is for sinners. Lord, refresh your people under this word. Give us to believe every word of Christ and to live in obedience. Lord, bring those who don't know you to love you, to serve you. Be with those who perhaps have rejected parts of your word, and Lord, they would come to believe it all and believe truly. For Lord, it all comes from the same source, from you through Jesus Christ. Lord, give us to bring this message to others, that we would have confidence and boldness and courage to bring this word to others. We are all bombarded by so much supposed truth, but this is the truth of God, given to us by your great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you, we praise you, and we pray that this word this morning would not have fallen on deaf ears, but would accomplish all that you intend to do with it by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.